Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Well, I can't wait to get right into Rick's message today. It's part one of a message called The Prayer of Connection.
So I've been doing a lot of study of the parallels in the Bible to different kinds of recessions in the nation of Israel. And one of the passages that I found was in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, where it talks about this. And here's an appropriate verse. Verse 5 says, "During those dark times, it was not even safe to travel." It's talking about in Israel. "Problems troubled the nation on every hand." When I read that phrase, I thought, deja vu all over again. Problems trouble the nation on every hand. You see, we don't just have economic problems in our nation right now. We've got international problems. We've got social problems, cultural problems, spiritual problems, relational problems. We have problems troubling the nation on every hand. But even in the darkest of times, God always gives a voice of hope. And in this particular time, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, he brought along a preacher named Azariah. And Azariah had these words of hope to say to the king at that time, Asa, and the entire nation. He said this, "Listen, all you people, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. And if you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him," talking about God, "he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and they sought him, and he was found by them." That phrase gives me hope. In their distress, they turned to the Lord. That is my prayer for me, that in my distress I will turn to the Lord. For you, that in your distress you will turn to the Lord. For our church, that in our distress we will turn to the Lord. For our city, our county, our country, our state, that during this time of tough times, we will turn not simply to economic solutions or governmental solutions or any of the other things that might come along, but we will turn to the Lord. Last week I mentioned that the starting point, anytime you're in distress, anytime you're in problem, when you need renewal, revival, reawakening, restoration in your marriage, in your career, in your life, in your community, in our nation, it always starts, first of all, with reconnecting with God. I want to take that a little bit deeper this week. If you'll write this down on your outline, the first antidote to national recession is to connect to God, to get reconnected to God. It is our disconnect from God that causes all of the problems in our lives and in our nation. Now, you know that a couple weeks ago at the presidential inauguration, when I prayed the inaugural invocation, I ended with the Lord's Prayer. And I did that intentionally. I did it for five reasons. I had thought of these things in advance in my mind, and I wanted to end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer. In the first place, I knew that the words of Jesus would be far more important than any words that I could possibly say. So I wanted to pray the Lord's Prayer. Second, it's the best known prayer on earth. More people know the Lord's Prayer than any other prayer, and I knew that millions of people would pray it with me. In fact, they did. In that moment, more people around the world may have prayed the Lord's Prayer at one time than any other time in history. Number three, I did a little research and I had discovered that the Lord's Prayer had never been prayed at a presidential inauguration, and I wanted it in the history books. I wanted the Lord's Prayer recorded in American history. So I thought, You know, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back for a long time, and 1,000 years from today, they're studying the history of that nation that was called America, and they find out, oh, they prayed the Lord's Prayer together, and it would be in the history books. But the real reason I chose it, I also knew that the prayer would be answered because it's a prayer of Jesus. And if he prayed it, then it's going to be answered. But the real reason I prayed the Lord's Prayer is because in that simple prayer, every possible thing you need for life is contained in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, if it wasn't there, believe me, Jesus would have added it in. So everything you need is covered in that Lord's Prayer. Now, for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to tear that prayer apart piece by piece. I'm calling the series Connecting with God, because that's the starting point on the road to renewal, restoration, revival, recovery, reawakening, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to look at these 7 different phrases in the Lord's Prayer, because every single one of those 7 phrases are an answer to the 7 greatest stresses in your life. The things that cause you more conflict, more problem, more difficulty, more hassle than anything else, if you understand the Lord's Prayer and you don't just pray it, you live it, it will change your life. Now, most of you have known the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father for many, many years, maybe since you were a child. And you can pray it even without thinking about it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And you don't even think about it. But these are profound statements. And when you understand the meaning behind the message, you're going to find the peace in your life soaring and the stress in your life declining. Now, let me just give you a little overview of where we're going for the next 7 weeks. And I don't want you to miss any of these as I teach this series. Up here on the screen, the first phrase in the Lord's Prayer is this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I call this the prayer of connection, and we're going to talk about it today. How do you get connected to God? And what the prayer of connection is it's actually God's intervention for your insecurities. You have enormous insecurities in your life that you grew up with, and you got them in your family. And God's intervention into your insecurities comes when you understand our Father who art in heaven. We're going to look at that today. You give your love to God. Then the next phrase is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to look at that next week. I call that the prayer of surrender. And what the prayer of surrender is it's God's cure for your confusion. If you've ever wondered, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where am I supposed to be going with my life? Where should I be headed with my life? What does God want me to do? You don't need not to miss next week, because God's cure for your confusion is contained in that phrase when you understand the meaning behind it and you give God your life. Then the next phrase is, give us this day our daily bread. And of course, that's God's or the prayer of our needs. It's when we pray for our needs to be met. Give us this day our daily bread. It's actually God's antidote to your anxiety. When you understand the full impact of the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, and the meaning and the promises behind that, you will never again need to worry. It is the antidote to your anxiety. It will wipe out your worry if you will give God your worries. The next phrase of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses. Sometimes it's translated sins. Sometimes it's translated debts. And this, of course, is the prayer of cleansing. It is the key to a clear conscience. It is God's grace for your guilt. So many people go around carrying guilt, shame, regrets, if only. And this is a very liberating part of the prayer. I don't want you to miss that week where we talk about how do you let go and get on with your life and receive God's grace for your guilt, and you give him your regrets. The next part of the prayer is, oh, and by the way, it says, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, who have hurt us, who have sinned against us, who are indebted to us. That is the prayer of release. And to me personally, I think that's the most powerful part of the prayer. It is God's healing for your hurts. It's God's way of being released from the pain of your past when you understand how to let it go. And then the prayer says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is the prayer of security or the prayer of safety. It's the prayer where God promises to protect us. And it is God's protection for your problems. And specifically in this area, lead us not into temptation. When you understand the meaning of it, it is the way to overcome all the things that are out of control in your life. And in this part of the prayer, you give God the affections, the attractions, the addictions, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups, the things that are stubborn in your life that you would like to change and you just can't change them. And you give those uncontrollables to God. And you give them to Him. The last part of the prayer says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We often just kind of skip over that part. And yet when you understand those three words, kingdom, power, and glory, and you understand the implications of them, you will understand God's solution to your struggles. That everything you need in life is covered in that prayer, and you give God your future. Now, this morning, we're going to look simply at the first phrase of the prayer. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Read it with me. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I know a little kid who got this all wrong, and he thought it said, our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. And he thought God's name was Harold. Another little boy didn't understand this, and he thought it was, our Father in heaven, how do I know your name? Now, we're not going to cover the second part of that, the hallowed be your name, because we actually talked about that in depth last week, the importance of Jesus' name, the importance of God's name, and the power and the significance and the implications of God's name. So today, I want us to just look at the phrase, our Father. Our Father. When Jesus said we're to pray to God as this, our Father, it broke all the rules. Jesus exploded all the stereotypes about God in two words, our Father. You see, until Jesus came to earth, God came to earth in human form in Jesus to let us know what He's like, nobody really knew that God was our Father. You wouldn't know that God is your Father except for Jesus Christ. Do you know that in the thousands of years covered in the Old Testament part of the Bible, God is called Father only seven times in thousands of years? People just didn't think of God as Father. They thought of Him as other kind of things, Creator and Almighty One and on, but they didn't think of God as Father. Yet Jesus comes along and says, this is how you're to pray. Call Him Father. And Jesus uses the expression over 150 times referring to God. And what He's doing is He's exploding all the stereotypes. God is not the angry tyrant. God is not the cosmic cop. He is not the universal killjoy. He is not the impersonal force. He is not all these other things that people want to make God out to be. He says this, you might write this down. God is a person, not a power. God is a person, not a power. The reason you have personhood, the reason you are a person, is because you were created in the image of God. That makes you different from the animals. God is a personal God, and He has an ability to have a relationship with us, and He created you with the ability to have a relationship with Him. God is a person, not a power. He is a Father, not a force. And that's why we don't sign off our prayer saying, may the force be with you. No, we say our Father, because He's a Father, not a force. Now, this is really good news when you understand it. Because I can't relate to some impersonal force. I can't relate to some disembodied ooey-gooey spirit in the sky that I don't even, what is it? But I can relate to a personality. I can relate. I can get to know him. I can connect. I can have a relationship with God as Father. Now, there's only one problem. And it's the problem we have to deal with in detail today. For many people, the word Father is a negative term. For many people, the word Father brings up all kinds of bad memories, bad connotations, hurts, difficulties, problems, experiences, deep father wounds. And a lot of people say, our Father who art in heaven, if God's like my Father, no thanks God. You see, for a lot of people, their only idea of Father is, you just wait till your Father gets home. And they think of God in that same way. The truth is, human fathers can make home a hell on earth. Human fathers can be capricious, they can be fickle, they can be moody, they can be abusive, they can be domineering and controlling and angry and demanding and selfish and self-centered and vicious and violent and aloof and all these other different things. And so when we say our Father in heaven, a lot of times we carry baggage in with that word. In fact, I will tell you quite frankly, that your biggest problem with God is not a problem with God. It's a problem with your father. And you have taken a lot of the things and the baggage from growing up, and you have unconsciously placed your attitudes about authority on God. And it's no wonder you have a difficult time getting to know him. The reason why many people never connect with God, because they unconsciously think God is like their earthly father. And we transfer all those mixed up hurts and emotions onto God. We impose them on God, and it's no wonder we have a hard time connecting with God. For instance, if you grew up with an unreasonable father, you're going to tend to think God is unreasonable. Not consciously, but unconsciously. You're going to tend to think that God is always, that his demands are unreasonable, unmeetable, unattainable, and you just go, why even try? I'm just going to give up. God is an unreasonable father who wants to make my life miserable. He wants to deal me a bummer. He wants me to have no fun. He's a killjoy, and his demands are just not valid. On the other hand, if you grew up with an unreliable father, you're going to have a hard time trusting God. In fact, if you grew up with an unreliable father, you are naturally predisposed to worry. You tend to worry more than other people because you don't think people can be trusted. You grew up with a father who made promises and broke them. You grew up with a father who said, I'll do this, and then didn't. And so you tend to think God can't be trusted, God can't be depended on, God won't keep his promises, and you worry more than you need to worry. If you grew up with an unconcerned father, who he was there, but he was just distant, then you're going to tend to think of God the same way. You're going to think, oh yeah, I believe in God. He's just not involved in my life. He's distant. He's cold. He's uninvolved. He's too busy to bother with me. And I don't want to bother him because I remember what it was like to bother my dad. And you're going to tend to think that way toward God. If you grew up with an unpleasable father, that no matter what you did, it was just never good enough. And no matter how much you achieved, it was like, there's always more, there's always more. Then you're going to tend to think God is that way. And you're going to feel that God is upset with you all the time. And do you want to be around somebody who's upset with you all the time? No, you avoid him. And so you avoid God. And you want to walk away. And if you grew up with an unpleasable father, you tend to carry around a lot of guilt, unnecessary shame, unnecessary regrets. And you tend to put that all on God the Father. Now, why am I going into this? Because here in America now, what's been going on in our culture, we now have 25% of all white children growing up without the presence of a father in the home, 25% of all white kids. We have now in our nation 50% of all Hispanic kids, 50% growing up without the presence of the father in the home. And we now have in our nation almost 75% of all African American kids, black kids, growing up without the presence of their father in the home. Friend, it's no wonder we don't understand God. It's no wonder we don't get what it's like to say, our Father who art in heaven. Because we don't have that kind of connection. Many kids growing up today have very little connection to their father. So why would they be expected to have a connection to their heavenly father? I've done a lot of study on this. One of the books that I read was a book by Dr. Paul Vitz, a professor and a psychologist at the University of New York. And he wrote a book called The Faith of the Fatherless. The Faith of the Fatherless. And in it, he did a study of all of the famous atheists throughout history, 60, 70 or so of the most famous atheists. I'm talking about Sigmund Freud, Karl Marx, Bertrand Russell, all of the very well-known atheists throughout history. And the only thing that he could find that they had in common is they all hated their dads. The dads were distant, dead, or demanding. And they did not have a natural connection to their father. What I'm going to try to do today is help you let go of some of the misconceptions and myths you have about God that really are inaccurate, and help you understand what God is really like, the truth of what God the Father is really like, because the truth will set you free. Misconceptions keep you disconnected from God. And so what I want to do is I want to help you trade in the misconceptions and the myth about what God is really like for the truth, because when you really know Him, you're going to love Him.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I hope that you were just as blessed as I was from today's broadcast. And now, here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And over all that time, I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to, and the number one questions that people ask, they've come to me, they come back over and over and over again. I've noticed that people tend to ask the same questions. All of these common questions have common solutions, and they're all found in God's Word. So I sat down, and I took the most common questions that I've been asked over 45 years in ministry, and I began to answer them according to Scriptures. And I wrote a little book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It provides simple, straightforward answers that you can apply right away. In fact, this will get you the answers to probably questions you're asking yourself right now. You say, well, what are those questions? Well, let me just give you a few of them. How do I cope with stress? Have you ever asked that one? How do I rebound from a failure? Have you ever asked that one? How can I be more confident in the crisis that I'm going through? How do I live above average? Why is this happening to me? How can I overcome loneliness? And how do I change the things that I want to change in my life? Well, I answer those questions in this book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You'll discover the simple truths that God has given to us from His Word. And it's just my way of saying thank you for supporting Daily Hope with your financial gifts. You know, we're a listener-supported ministry. We don't have any giant secret donors that fund this. I don't do this for a salary. We do this for free as a ministry to you and as a ministry of spreading the Word of God around the world. Thanks for listening today. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.